This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Shiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. This week's message, entitled Remembering Authority, is in honor of first responders who protect us and put their lives on the line when we most need it. These past few weeks here in Puna, we've had a real tangible first responder presence due to the lava flows that have ravaged Leilani Estates and Lanipuna Gardens. This message was delivered on May 20th, 2018. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Prepare. Heavenly Father, thank you for all that you do. Thank you for everything that you have given us. Please bless our tithes and offerings and just multiply it and do what you do with it that only you can. Just like to thank you for everything again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, James. Go ahead, ushers. Before we go forward and jump into our message, I just want to let you know that Uncle Don, the guy who comes in the wheelchair, he went home to be with the Lord a few weeks ago. Julie's dad, you know Julie, stand up. Julie took so good care of her dad, and she's an example of what the Bible says, to honor your mother and father. And she did that so well. She took such good care of him. Don was in, what, 94? 94. And no matter what, he would still want to go work every day. I mean, and up to several months ago, he was still driving, I think. And I would be driving behind him, and I would see his tailgate down, and I'd say, hey, Julie, I see your dad driving with his tailgate down. I was like, oh, boy. And he was so faithful through it, all the years from New Hope Hilo to when he came here. And 94 is a very long time to live. And if you can imagine now, he has his new body as the Bible promises. He doesn't have to be in a walker. He's probably dancing around. And the saddest thing for me was when he gave me his fishing equipment a few years ago. And that was like, it broke my heart because he knew like, okay, I cannot walk very good, so I cannot go fishing anymore. And it was like, oh, man. So I was thinking, like, what if one day I'd have to, when will it be when I have to give up my power tools and my fishing poles? Wow. And then I can see it now after I'm dead at the garage sale, 50 cents for one nice saw, dollar for one impact gun. And it's like, oh, these kids, 25 cents for one $200 reel. And it's like, oh, my kids. But, you know, he lived a long life. He was faithful all the way till the end. He gets to be in heaven with Jesus and his wife, Wilma. Man, we're going to miss him, but we know that he is full of joy right now with our Lord. Amen. Well, today we're going to remember those in authority, our policemen, our firemen, any corrections officers we may have, anybody. I know we got Lieutenant Brisky. Any other officers, corrections, firemen, stand up because we want to just honor you. Well, see, I can tell you why we only got one, because I asked him to be here, and the rest of them are working to protect us and keep us safe. Amen? You know, a couple of years ago, we went to a wedding in Waimea, and we stayed overnight, and the next day we were coming back. And my wife decided to ride with my daughter because they wanted to go, you know, they got to, wherever they are, they just got to shop. They got to do something, right? And I wasn't into that. So I said, okay, I'll meet you at home. So I'm driving back home, and I'm almost to Hilo. And I get a phone call. And they said, Dad, I got a flat tire. I was like, are you kidding me? And they're coming back, and they're still at the last horseshoe. And I was thinking, like, oh, you're shopping that long. So, okay, I said, I'm turning around, and I'm going to come back to get you, right? Not that they could. They're very capable of changing a tire. I made sure of that when they got their license. So my wife and my daughter, they're in the car all the way out by the third horseshoe before that, coming down the hill, and they have a flat tire. So I turn around, and I'm heading out that way to make sure they're okay. I get there. Yeah, and because the shoulder is so narrow, the tire that's flat is like halfway in the bushes. And what do I see back there? I see a police officer in the bushes, full sweat, changing her tire. And I was like, man, it's like, talk about above and beyond the call of duty. I mean, that's not in their job description to go change a tire. But he's, I mean, it's like, I was so grateful. I got his name, and I wrote a letter to the chief thanking him for this gentleman, this officer. And they were most grateful for me writing that letter, because a lot of times when we report something about the police, it's not good. But if you see them doing good, say so. Write something good to the chief. Tell him, Officer so-and-so did this, did that. And I know they would be so grateful to hear good news, because so many times we just get mad at them. You know, it reminds me, a few years ago, when I went to Washington, D.C., I went to the Fallen Officers Memorial, and there was a statue of a lion right before all the names. And there was this scripture on there, and it really stuck with me. It's Proverbs 28:1. The wicked flee when no one is pursuing. How many of you can relate to that? Back before days, you'd be walking and, you know, you're not sure because you did something bad and you're like just checking over your shoulder. Or if you were speeding, you keep looking in your mirror, see the blue light, like, was I speeding? Was I going speed limit? But the righteous are bold as a lion. You know, when you do something bad, you worry. When you do something good, you're okay. You know, when you're driving down the road, speed limit, you're not talking on your cell phone, your seatbelt's on, policeman shows up behind you, no worries, right? Back in 1962, President Kennedy proclaimed May 15 as National Police Officers Memorial Day. And they made it into, like, Police Week. So this is the week we honor our people, our officers, and we've extended it further to take care of pray for our firemen. I don't think they have a fire week, but they have fire prevention week. And then our corrections officers who, like, they're, like, totally forgotten off to the side, but they also help. And, you know, the police officer, the law enforcement officers, they focus on protecting us. I mean, we depend on them for sometimes, but they don't get the respect that they need. They risk their lives day in and day out to keep us safe. If you look at what's going on now in Pune, you know, they gotta go in, along with the firemen, the police, they gotta go in to these hazardous places and get people out. And when people don't wanna go out and they get trapped, who you think gotta go back in? They gotta risk their lives because people, I think maybe just their houses, yes, that's valuable, that's their possession, that's the only thing they might have to hold on to. But it's not worth more than a life. But yet they hold on to it. And when they got to be rescued, our first responders are put in harm's way. And we are to pray for them, to support them. You know, I was looking up online about officers killed in the line of duty. And I got like 6 pages. And this is just this year. This year alone. And if you read through some of them, man, you start, your heart breaks. You start crying because some of these guys, they're sitting in their car and somebody comes up, ambushes them, and just shoots them. And you read, like, they have young children. Some of them is like the day before they retire. And you think, 6 pages now of fallen officers. And as for our firemen, I think there was like 53 firemen this year killed in the line of duty. And if you want to look at this list, man, it's so sad. It's like some of them die from, one of them was Deputy Sheriff William Gentry. He was killed by gunfire. End of watch, Monday, May 7th. That was just like a couple weeks ago. Paul Morris, end of watch Thursday, May 17th. That was just the other day. And, you know, if you look through these, it breaks your heart. You know, just it's like people don't respect our authority like back in the 40s and 50s. And it's so sad because these people are put here to protect us, to keep us safe. I mean, when Lieutenant Brisky is here, I feel so much safer. Not only because he's a big guy, but he's in authority and he's trained. And I tell you what, when we have officers present in our service, it's like, I feel so good. I told you years ago, on one of my first speaking Wednesdays at New Hope Hilo, I was like brand new. I was taking the pulpit that Wednesday evening, and Captain Henry Tavares, I think he was a captain back then, he came up to me just before service. He said, "Pastor Scott, I don't want to get you worried or alarmed, but in the second row, there's this guy who has a knife this big, and it's not illegal for him to carry it. So I just want to let you know." It's like, oh, jeez. Okay, thank you. But we have Officer Rodriguez on the right and another officer on the left and one behind him. And I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Nothing happened, but just, you know, I was so thankful that we had officers in the church to kind of watch out because, I mean, the second row was pretty close, although the stage was like 2 feet high. I mean, I'm sure he could have jumped up there really quickly. And I was thinking like, well, Lord, I'm going to preach your word. If I go to heaven tonight, I go to heaven tonight. Nothing's going to stop me. But I felt so good that there were people in service. And I'm so grateful for officers in our community. And whenever we're driving and I try to shock them, I don't know if they think I'm doing something strange, but I try to say hi to them. They must think I'm weird. But I don't know how else to, you know, let them know that I appreciate them. Except for when I see them around and buy them coffee or something, then I thank them for what they do. But here's the thing. Number one, authority has been given by God. Romans 13:1-7, every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God. And they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Here's the answer. Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid. For it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. Therefore, it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. So true. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Render to all what is due them, tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Now, we honor, we respect, we submit to our governing authorities as long as they don't force us to disobey God. Amen? They were put in place by God. Back when the disciples would not obey the governing authorities because the Romans may have made them do things that was not according to their biblical morals. They opposed the governing authorities because the Romans made them do something that was not biblical. And their disobedience, if you like to call it that, it was not cheap. They were threatened, they were beaten, they were thrown in jail, they were tortured, they were executed. You look at King Nebuchadnezzar when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not bow down to that idol that he made. He made a 90-foot tall statue and said, when you hear these instruments, you are to bow down to this 90-foot tall statue and worship. And they said, no, we're not going to do that. What happened to them? They got thrown in a furnace. Did they die? No, they didn't. God saved them. So their so-called disobedience to the authorities did not come cheap. Yeah? So in Romans 13, we understand that these people who are in authority, they were put there by God. And we need to understand that. We need to respect that. We need to honor that. Yeah? Authority is those people who watch over, who kind of manage, who take care of us. And as a responsibility of a Christian, it involves more than just obedience, but it includes support. You know, taking them a cup of coffee, thanking them, praying for them. Because if you look at what they do, it's not an easy job. Number two, we need to pray for those in authority. 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. I urge you then, first of all, that requests, prayers, and intercession and thanksgiving may be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Paul was writing to this young Timothy to encourage him in his responsibility for overseeing the work of the Ephesian church and possibly other churches in the area. The Ephesian church was to pray for everyone, but especially those in authority. I would like us to be like that, to pray for those in authority, to honor them, to thank them for their service, to appreciate what they do, and not be the ones who are getting handcuffed and taken away, to create more work for them. We don't want to be that type of people who create more work or give them a bad time. Man, if they pull you over for something, for speeding, talking on the cell phone, suck it up, say sorry, and you're right, and give me that ticket. Don't say, oh, but Officer Lieutenant Brisky, well, we go to the same church, man. Come on. And don't go dropping his name now when you get the ticket. Hey, but I know Lieutenant Brisky. And then he gets the phone call, hey, but somebody in your church is dropping your name because they're like, get out of one ticket. No, we do not want to make more work for them. We want to make less work for them. Amen? We need to pray for them because, man, they put themselves in harm's way every day. And I cannot imagine if you were married to an officer or first responder. I think your prayer life must be like incredible because you don't know what's going to happen. And you would be praying for them day in and day out. More than ever, we need to pray for those who protect us. I mean, look at this, 6 pages just this year. Not even half the year is gone. And just a few days ago, we have some. And if you want to read through this list, man, it'll bring you to tears. We need to take care of them. Amen? I asked Lieutenant Brisky if he would want to say something. And he is where's the other mic? He's just a wonderful guy. He's a awesome part of our church. He is also a really, really good friend. I love him and his family, and he makes me feel so safe when he's here, because you see how big he is.
Oh, thanks. Thank you very much. If I get a little emotional when I'm up here, it's been a long few weeks, not only for first responders, but I'm sure for many of you here in the congregation, or perhaps someone that you know, a family member or a friend. Police Week is something that I have cherished over the last few years, ever since I did also go to the memorial in Washington, D.C. to see those names on a wall. But I think so much more locally here than Police Week, I'd like to consider it more like Public Servant Week. Working for the County of Hawaii, being a police officer, I love my job. I really do. There's not a day that goes by that I don't get up in the morning enthusiastic to go to work. And during these times with the lava flow, ash eruptions, and things, it's been a very humbling experience. I've seen how strong people can be in facing the worst devastation they've seen in their lives. I've seen this community come together in an unbelievable fashion. Pastor Scott mentioned about getting the SO2 mask for the first responders. We were asking first responders to go into areas with SO2 levels clearly higher than they should be going into without a mask. And no one turned around and said, I'm not going to do that. These are people, just like everybody sitting here, going out and risking their lives to help the community. And it's something that I believe all of them love what they do. Mm-hmm. Right now, I can only speak for the police department because I don't know what everybody else is going on, but right now, every police officer that's assigned to Puna and Hilo is working a minimum of 60 hours a week. So that's taking away time from their family, added pressures. They're tired physically. They're tired mentally. But when I go out and I talk to them about how things are going and what I can do, because I work in the Emergency Operations Center to make things better, none of them want to go home at night. They want to stay there to provide for the community. And that helps me keep going when I'm tired mentally and physically also. And again, I don't want to just make this about the police department, because there are people throughout the entire county, law enforcement, public works, Department of Health, that are putting in these kinds of hours and dedication to make sure that no one gets hurt during this emergency. When decisions are made, they're made to keep people's safety first, okay? I'm gonna be very blunt. We can't worry about possessions. We can't worry about that. First and foremost are people's lives. Mm-hmm. And so far, the county, even though we've been knocked 100 times in social media and on the news, no one has been hurt during this emergency. The decisions that have been made have kept people safe. Mm-hmm. I just want us to get through this with that 100% where no one gets hurt. Mm-hmm. First responder, someone from the community, no one gets hurt. And then I think let's consider this a success. We don't know what the future has for the District of Puna. It may be something that changes forever, but Puna is a strong place. Mm-hmm. The people are strong, and they will survive. I would be remiss if I didn't mention one person in particular, because I see his family here. Neil Azevedo is the head of Public Works, and without him, a lot of this couldn't have happened. So please keep him in your prayers. Every time I go in, no matter what time it is, the guy is always there. He's always working, like 24 hours a day. I have the utmost respect for him. And his family's here, so I just want to give them my prayer. Thank you so much for supporting him and allowing him to do what he does. Because I can't share with you how much work and how much time the gentleman puts into keeping the community safe. Thank you. And just have a plan for your own family when that time comes, in case it happens, and deal with it. Thank you.
Thanks, Lieutenant Grisky. So, Neil just redefined the definition of a county worker, all right? They don't stand on the side of the road, one guy working and five guys holding the shovels. They work hard, right, Johnny? Yeah, you see, and he's been making sure that people can get in and out. And, you know, we thank our first responders. So Can you make sure that when you get up in the morning, when you go to bed in the evening, can you say a prayer? Can you make that a point? Can you say a prayer for them that God would protect them? And while they're away from their families, that God would keep their families safe? And that the whatever resistance they come across, that they would deal with it fairly and kindly, and just have them protected, especially from the stuff that you cannot see, like the gases and the lava. Amen. So let's pray. I'll ask the worship team to come up. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for our first responders. And we lift them up to you now, that you would protect them as they go into hazardous areas, that you would keep them safe, and that while they're away from their families, that you would keep their families safe. Lord, I pray for all those who are affected, that they would listen to the first responders and the advice that they give. Lord, I know a lot of them are working and they aren't in church today, but keep them safe. Somehow, get the word out to them that Jesus loves them and that he is in their corner, and that we are, as citizens in this community, that we are to submit to the governing authorities, that you have put them in charge. Give them wisdom as they decide and they make decisions that affect us all. Thank you for each and every one of them that put their lives on the lines to keep us safe. We pray for them now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Would you stand? And we're going to sing.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.